We are up to the Daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, Seita, Second Day of Chanukah. Okay, we're talking about the Mashiach Muhammad, the guy who was specially appointed to get the people out to war and give them a pep talk. So there are a number of psukim there, and some of them the Kohen says, some of them the officers say. So the Mishnah continues. The Dibru HaShaitim Ela'am, these officers will speak to the people, Lamer, the following. They say the following three exemptions. Now, these three exemptions, they still have to go to the border. They have to go to the army. They go to the border, and there's a speech made. And then those that, don't qualify to go to the army, they go home, but they don't go home. They go back behind the lines, and they feed the soldier. They're still involved in the war, but not in the front battle. So, V'dibra ha-shaytan ma'am, these officers will say to the people, Lamer, the following. Mi-yo-ish, that person, ha-shabonda ba-yiz chadosh, that built a new house, pa-v'lo-y-chanocha, did not have a chance yet to live in it, or to live in it. Yelich v'yoshuv le-beis, should go home. Because what happens if he dies? Somebody else will come and take it over. Echad ha-boyne, and now when you say a house, a new house, what does the new house mean? First of all, obviously, ha-boyne, if you build a new house, that's new. Beis HaTeven, whether it's a house just for straw, it's considered a house. Beis HaBoka for cattle. Beis HaEitzim to store your logs. Beis HaEitzes for storage for food and all that. Surely a house that you live in. Echad HaBoyne, whether you built it. Echad HaLekech, even if you just bought it, but for you it's new. The Echad HaYedesh, even if you just inherited it, so not only you lived in the house before already, but still it's yours now, so it's new. Somebody gifted you. Next one, that's one exemption. Next exemption is that person who planted a vineyard, didn't have a chance. The first 3 years is Orla, you're not allowed to eat or have any benefit. The fourth year is called Netaravai. You have to take with you the new fruit to the Shalim and thank the Abishta for it. You didn't have a chance to do that. Whether you planted a vineyard, whether you planted other kinds of fruit trees. But a vineyard is made up of five trees minimum, so also five trees has to be a minimum. For less than five trees, it's not enough to warrant you to remain home. Even from the five species grains, even if it's five different species, they all combine. Whether you're planting a new tree, whether you take a branch from a tree and you pull it down and you put it in the ground and then you let it take root in the ground and then afterwards either you let it continue like that or you cut the branch off the original tree and now you create a new tree. Over there also the first 3 years is Arla. Whether you just take a branch from another tree and you make a hole in another tree and you graft it in the tree, whether you purchase a tree, whether you inherit a tree. The Echad Shenasalem Matana was gifted. All of these three, you're exempt from going. You go back home. That's the second category. The third category is Mia Ish, and that person, Asha Adas Isha, that got engaged to a woman, Baba Leila Kocha, didn't have a chance to marry you yet. Again, we say go back home. Echad Amadav, so whether it's her first time, Echad Amadav, so whether it's her second time, she's a widow. Even though you didn't do anything, the Torah, your brother and your wife is now available because your brother passed away and you have a chiyuv to marry her, that's enough grounds for you not to go to war. Now, what's the reason? See in a second. Even if he's already on the front and he heard that his brother died, he goes back home. They all go back home. The Elu, they all go back home. Kol Elu Shaimi, they listen, and they go back home. Divrei Kohen, hear the words of the Kohen, Me'archem, Muhammad, those who organize the battle. The Choizin, they go back home. But first of all, they go to the border, and then they turn back. And Umesapkin Mayim Umazin, they still provide water and food. Umesapkin, they fix up the roads. Now, why should they go back home? Different opinions. Rashi, Chumash says, because they're in pain. They're suffering. Other Rishonim say because they're not focused on the war. They're constantly thinking about their fiancé. They're thinking about the new house. They're thinking about the vineyard. So they're not focused. And they'll demoralize the soldiers around them as well because they're depressed. What's going to happen to my house? No good. Others say the reason is because there's a curse. Moshe Rabbeinu in Tricha said that, you know, the biggest curse is you'll gauge your wife, you'll never marry her, you'll build a house, you'll never end up with her. And if you build a house and you don't end up with a house, let's say, and then you die, then people say, oh, the curses of Moshe are happening. We're going to lose the war. So they're going to dishearten. We don't want that. So the following, don't go back home. Haboine Beishar, all you bought is a little guard's house. Aksadra, or a porch, no walls, just a roof with no walls, like a gazebo. Umar Peser, or a balcony. These are not houses. These are not grounds to go home. Hanotei Abi Lani Michael, you planted only four trees of fruit-bearing trees. V'chamishi lonis are even five trees, but they're barren trees. You don't go home. Hamachzit ez gerusha, so you took back your own wife. You divorced and take it back. Excitement is not there. Because it's not new. It says, Chaisha Chadosha. This is your old wife. It's not a new wife. No exemption. Almona le Kohen Gadol. If a widow marries a Kohen Gadol. Now, Kohen Gadol has no right to marry a widow. So if the Kohen Gadol married a widow, he doesn't go home and say, oh, but he got engaged to her. Oh, the grounds to go home. No, because it's in sin. Even though the marriage is a valid marriage, but it's in sin. So why in the world would the Torah encourage that kind of marriage? Grusha v'chalutza l'koin hedyet, a divorcee, or a chalutza to an ordinary koin. Now, an ordinary koin is not allowed to marry a divorcee, or a chalutza. Nevertheless, if they got married, it's a valid marriage, you should know they're not exemptions to stay home. Or mamzeres v'nesina l'basis l'Yisrael, or a Yisrael marrying a mamzer, he's not allowed to, even though the marriage is a valid marriage, or in a sinner, that's a nation that cheated the Yeshua, tricked him, thinking that part of it is wrong. You're not allowed to marry. Anything that was married in sin is not an excuse to not to go to the army. Or bas Yisrael, the mamzer in the sin. All these cases don't go back. Now here, this little part of the Mishnah caused a lot of problems. Because, number one is, a Kohen Gadol, says, when a Kohen Gadol go to the war? A Kohen Hedyet, the Rambam rules that a Kohen Hedyet doesn't go to war. So what do you mean? That if he married a girl, it's not an exemption. He doesn't go to war in the first place. So how do you understand this? And this has bothered many. So I'll just give you one answer. One of the answers is, what's the Kohen Gadol doing at war? Or what's the Kohen Hedyet doing at war? We're talking about, when the Rambam says that a Kohen Gadol doesn't go to war, means not that he's not allowed to. He doesn't have to. Even though this conscription doesn't apply to him. But if he wants to go to the war, he can. But these people, even if they want to, if the chassan wants to stay, we don't let him because you're affecting everybody else. So this Kohen Hedyet, he volunteers to go to the war, doesn't have to. We don't let him. We send him back. But not when it's a gerusha. If it's a gerusha and sin, and you volunteer to stay, stay. A mamzer, there's a big argument in halacha if a mamzer is allowed to go to war. In a mechemes rishus. From this mission here, it would seem clearly that they could go to war. Okay, let's continue. Rabbi Yehuda Amir says, "Af habayne bayis al mechayne." If you rebuild a house, le'chayze, you had a house, you destroyed it, and you rebuilt it, you don't go back unless it's greater and bigger than the first one. Rabbi Eliezer Amir, "Af habayne bayis levayne." If you build a house made out of bricks, bishadur in the city of Shadur, and that there, for whatever reason, it doesn't last very long. Every couple of years, every 3.5 years, you have to rebuild a house. That's not called a house that you're thinking about all the time. Now the next group of people, they don't go to, these guys had to go to the front, send back. The next group doesn't even go to the front. And they don't even have to provide food for the others. You built a house. If you built a house and chanochai, you already did move into it, but you didn't live there for a year yet. Not that kerem mechala, you planted a vineyard and you took the fruits of the shlaim, but didn't have a year's enjoyment yet. Hanoise, as I said, you married your fiance, but you didn't live a year with her yet. Hakoinis es yevemta, you married your sister-in-law. Shenemar says noki lebeisa shenachas. It says in the pasuk you should live with them for 1 year. Lebeisa is we'll dash in all three from this one pasuk. Lebeisa is a beisa. Your physically your house, you got to enjoy it at least for a year. Yiyez a karma his vineyard because that's extra. And besimachas ishtei zu ishtei. All three of them you have to enjoy them for a year. Ashaloka that you bought lohavi es yevemta your sister-in-law as well. So that's something you did voluntarily. Must speak in Mayim Mazon, and furthermore, you don't have to provide food and drink. You don't have to fix up the roads. In other words, you're not involved at all, unless it's a mechemes mitzvah. A mechemes mitzvah, we'll learn later, even a kala from a chuppah has to be dragged out to go through the front. Says Gemara Vayta, it's what we learned. V'dibru ha-shaitim, the shaitim should speak. Yochol, they should make their own speeches. It says, v'yosfo ha-shaitim, it says in the Pasuk, that the shaitim will add words to the people. So that means only later on they add words. Initially, they're just repeating, they're parroting the words of the Kohen. Hadi, they're saying their own words. talking about words of Mashur Muhammad. Hakeitz has a possible koyim medabe v'shoyte mashmir. The koyim speaks and the shoyte is mashmir. Says it over. Tani chode koyim medabe v'shoyte. One place it says the koyim speaks and the shoyte is mashmir. That the shoyte is just like a loudspeaker. But tani elsewhere koyim medabe v'koyim mashmir. The koyim speaks and the koyim is the loudspeaker. But tani the third place shoyte medabe v'shoyte mashmir. That the officers spoke and that the ones. No, what's going on? One place says the koyim did everything. One place says that the shoyte did everything. One place says the koyim spoke and then the shoyte was the mashmir, the loudspeaker. How does it work? How's it work? The first part is only koyim medabe v'koyim mashmir. The first part, when he says, you know, you approach the war and everything else, that's only the Kohen says it. The Dibre from speaking, Advil to the ad, is Kohen Medaba. Kohen makes the speech, and Vishayta Mashmeh, the Shayta is the one who repeats it. And the Yospo, when they add, the Elech, and onwards, is Shayta. When they say, whoever is scared, go back home and all that, Shayta Medaba, Vishayta Mashmeh, then Shayta is what it means. So there's three different kinds of speeches. Miyah ish ashebona b'ayit chav. So what we learned? Ashebona engli ela ashebona. All we know is you built a house. How do we know lokach, you purchased a house? Yorash, you inherited a house. Obanita le matona, you were gifted a house. Menayin, how do you know all these instances you're exempt? Hamaleim, miyah ish ashebona b'ayit engli ela b'ayit. It says miyah ish. That's extra. What do you mean miyah ish? Just say miyah ashebona b'ayit. Miyah ish means even if you didn't build, just you bought. Engli ela b'ayit a house. Menayin le rabbi b'ayit ha-tevin. How do you know there's a house to live in? How do you know a warehouse, a house of straw, b'ayit ha-bokeh for cattle, b'ayit ha-eitzeh for wood, b'ayit ha-eitzeh storage? Tam aleim comes to teach you, asher bona mikol makom. Any way you built it. Yochav rethoch, ani marba afaboyne b'ayishar ha-ksadah ma-peset. I would have thought this should include, also somebody builds a b'ayishar, or an aksadra or mapes. If somebody builds a little guardhouse or a porch or a balcony, that also should be exempt. Hamalema bayis has to be similar to a house that you live in. Ma bayis a royal adida. Even a pen for cattle, you could live there. Just you gave it over to the cattle. A closed area. This is not enclosed. You have a gazebo. You have a roof with no walls. A balcony has no walls either. I've called her royal adida. It has to be something suitable to live in. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov disagrees. He argues. He holds bayis kim mashmoy. He said the Torah said the house, it means a living house. Any other house is not an exemption. Loi hanach, loi chanach, v'loi chanochai. It says a house, it could have said a house that you didn't live in yet. What do you mean loi chanochai? You didn't live in it. Obviously we're talking about the house. It says it could have said a house that you didn't live in. What are we talking about? We're talking about the house he just built. Why does the Torah say chanochai? You didn't build it. What's the stress? It and not what? That means there's another kind of a house that you live in that maybe is not an exemption. Pratli gazlin, you stole a house, you're living there. You think, oh, the fact is it's mine, so therefore I took it over, I should be exempt. Which is hard to understand why you even need a pusik. But it's the Gemara further, lema, because it must be that a gazlin, when you steal something, when somebody steals something, he takes responsibility. The breaks he has to pay. So because he takes responsibility, there's certain ownership now you have over this thing here. If you have no ownership at all, why am I responsible? So therefore, maybe that's sufficient to exempt you from going to war. So he says, no, it does not. Lema, let us say, let us say that this part of the Mishnah is not really why. Rabbi Yehesi Haglili holds, if you have one Aveda in your books, we don't want you in the war. The Mishnah said that if you stole, we just said that if you stole the house, you stay at the war. Rabbi Yehesi says if you did one Aveda, we don't want you because you're going to bring down the whole army. So if you stole a house, you're exempt, not because it's a house, but because you're a Ganef. We don't want people Avedas there. So our Mishnah Lecheda disagrees. Says the Gemara. He holds v'rach ha-levav. It says in the passage, whoever is scared or is tender-hearted. What do you mean tender-hearted? Zahamisiyara. What kind of fear are we talking about? Spiritual. Me'avedish shebi yoda. He's worried because he has sins on his plate. So he shouldn't be in the army at all. Says the Gemara, no. Fill him as a gluli. He's going to avat tshuva. What if the guy did tshuva yavdam? He paid back the victim. He paid back, he compensated for the whole house. So I would have thought he did tshuva. Now he owns the house, so then maybe he should be exempt. He's not. Why taka not? He owns the house now. Why shouldn't he be exempt? Says he more to Ihoch, so have a lekech. He's no different than a purchaser. Okay, he did it by force, but he's no different. Let him go back home. So we answer, Kiva on the Mikora betoyed exil. Also had to come at his hand because he stole it. We don't want those kind of people. Whoever planted a vineyard, talking about we learned, Ashenota, you planted. Engli Elanota, you planted. Lokach, you bought it. It says first plant before it says vineyard. That means we'll learn from here any kind of a tree, not just grapes. Engli Elanota. First of all, we only planted. Lokach Yodash. If you bought it, you inherited. You were given, gifted it. I mean, now you know. The person that planted is extra again to teach you all kinds of forms. Not only if you bought it, but if you, not if you planted, but if you bought it, you're gifted and all that. All I know is a vineyard. How do we know? To include chamisha ilanim meichel. How do we know to include five fruit-bearing trees? Afilu mishan, meaning, how do we know to include five fruit-bearing trees, even from other species? Tamalayme, come to teach you, ashenota. He could have said kerem nota. It says nota kerem. Nota means planted any kind of a sapling, any kind of a tree. Any kind of a tree, fruit-bearing tree you planted, if you have five of them, you go home. Doesn't only have to be grapes. Yochol, I would have thought, shani marbe hanotei abo. Yochel, I would have thought, Shani Marbe, I should include not only five trees, I don't know, five trees, maybe four trees, three trees, if I have a... Wait one second. So the question is, you say a minimum of five trees. Okay, we know it's not only grapes, apple trees, orange trees, but how do you know five? Maybe one tree. If you have one fruit-bearing tree, you should go home. How do you know five? Yochel, I would have thought, Shani Marba, I would include Hanot Keya, if you plant Arbo Ilani Michael, even four trees. The Chamisha Ilani Sadak, or five barren trees, Tamalayma, it says Kedem. Why is it a vineyard? Because you know the smallest, anybody who grows grapes will tell you, the smallest kind of vineyard is five trees. And the way they plant it is two, and then one in the middle, like a tail. That's how Rashi is right in the middle. Others say two, and then one on the side. You know, one of the twos have a third one in the row. That's called a vineyard. So trees, the same thing. You have five trees. Otherwise, it's just sporadic. It's ad hoc. It's nothing. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov disagrees. You argue that it's what? All kinds of trees. I hold, just like in the previous case, I hold you take it literally by a house. It means built. Over here, it says vineyard in the Torah. It means only vines. Kerem kim mashmoy. Only grapes. Nothing else. Says the Gemara, he could have said leichilul that you didn't have a chance yet to bring the fourth crop to Eretz Yisrael. The leichilul, why is that you didn't have a chance to mechal it? Prat, it comes to exclude le mavrich ule markiv. It comes to exclude a mavrich and a markiv. A mavrich is what if you take it and you take a branch and you put it into the ground, you take let it take roots. A markiv is when you graft a branch into another tree. This brisa holds that a mavrich and a markiv, you're not exempt from war. But our Mishnah clearly says you are. Ask the Gemara, isn't that a contradiction to our Mishnah, the brisa? We learned in the Mishnah, echad hanoteya, whether you plant a tree. Ve'echad a mavrich, you took a branch from a tree and you pulled it down and you while still hanging the tree and you put it in the ground and took root. Ve'echad a markiv, you grafted a branch. All of them, you are exempt. What's the machlekes in the Mishnah Braisa? What's going on here? Is there a machlekes or what's going on? Are they talking about the same case? Amr Rab Zayda will give a number of answers. Rab Zayda said, "Name Rab Chizda, like Kasha, they're not arguing, they're talking about different cases. Can Behakovas is the you're not allowed to graft one species of fruit to another. We want everything to maintain its own species. If you graft one species to another, it's called klein. But by fruits, if someone did it, you are allowed to eat it. You're allowed to eat all of these fruits, nectarines, all that. You're allowed to eat it, but you shouldn't be the one planting lechatchila, taking two different fruits. You don't make a shechiyano on it, according to many, because an avera was done with it. We don't want that to happen. So, if that's what happened, you took two different species, then you don't go home. Kamba, that's the brisa. Kamba covers heta. I'm just talking about you took two species that are the same species, the same tree, you know, whatever it is, then that's permitted." This harkova, where you take a branch and you bend it down and you push it into the ground and let it take root. Hey chidami, what exactly is the case? Are we talking about Sorry, Harkava is when you take a branch and you graft it into a tree. You make a hole in the tree, into an existing tree. You take a branch from another tree and you graft it into this tree. That's how Harkava works. And what happens is that the fruits that grow now are similar to the, we're talking about the same species. They're similar to the tree which is now which has been upstanding. So you took the branch from tree B and you grafted it onto tree A. Now that you're allowed to do. Why would you be interested in doing that? Because let's say that's a younger tree. B is a younger tree, so you and A is an older tree. So you take a branch from a younger tree and you attach it to the older tree. You want to give it some life. Yeah. So Gemara asks, hey, what are we talking about? And then it is your example. What are we talking about? Elema yalda be yalda, a young tree. Let's say tree B is young and tree A is young. So tree A in its own right, you're exempt. Who cares about tree B? You're exempt because tree A, you have to wait 3 years and then go 4th year's line. So what do I have to talk to me about the grafting? Talk to me about the original tree. Tepule de boy med, you got to go home anyway, Meshum yalda, because the Rishayna, because the original tree. El yalda biskeina, what you did was you took a B, which is a young tree, and you grafted it on to an old tree. Think about what Rabbi Abavu said. Yalda shesivcha biskeina. If you take a young tree and you attach it to an old tree, it does not have the din of Orla and Revive, because it becomes bottle. If you have one branch of a young tree attached to a large older tree, it has a din of the older tree, and you don't have to take it to the shalim and do anything. So what's the exemption going home? Bottle yalda biskeina becomes bottle. Maybe din Orla, there's no din Orla. So what's going on here? I'm talking about two young trees. So why do you tell me that you're exempt because of this, the new graft? You're exempt because the original tree is also potter. No, the original tree you planted was not for fruits. Even though it's a fruit-bearing tree, you planted it to be beans. And perhaps if you, even though you're not allowed to cut down a fruit-bearing tree for beans, but maybe if you planted it for that purpose, maybe you're allowed to. Even though it bears fruits, that's not what you planted it for. That's what it seems to me. Or maybe wood, firewood is more expensive than fruits. Now we learn Hanateya, if somebody plants for a fence, all the kaidas for beams, pot them in the Arla, you're exempt from the Arla. So the original tree is exempt from Arla, but you know why you're exempt from but we know Chayv Arla because you grafted on another branch. The Yimara Umbaish, no Yaldub is cane the bottle. So I don't understand. Why is it if you graft a younger tree to an older tree, we say it's bottled to the original tree. If the original tree is potter from Netaravai, from going to Shalim. So if you take a branch and you attach it to a tree that was not meant to be a fruit, that was only for wood, you should also be potter. Ask the Gemara, Maishna Yaldub Yaldub the Loy Bottle, Hossam, the Gemara answer very simple. Hossam over there, in the case of the old tree, even if you change your mind, look, I want it to be a young tree, Lav Bas Medhi. You can't do anything about it, it's a fact, it's an old tree. Hoch here, Imim Lechala, let's say you have a fruit bearing tree that you want for wood, but what happens in the middle of growing, you say, you know what, I want it for the fruits. And then, of course, it becomes a normal fruit tree, and you have to keep Arla and Netarabai. So, therefore, it has potential to be fruits. That's why, in this case, the graft is not bottled to the tree. Hochi mimlechale bas medri. You could change your mind. Because it's a fruit-bearing tree. Midahavi olam alein, if it grew on its own. Now we learn, olam alein, if a tree had fruits on its own, chayim v'arla. Chayim v'arla. There's no different than that. So, the Gemara, even though you had a mind for something else, but you can always change it. The fact that you can always change it means, therefore, that you part. Think about it. Well, look, why don't you give a simple answer? The original tree belongs to Reuven. The second tree belongs to Shimon. So even though the original tree is an exemption for Reuven, but the graft that you put on is Shimon's exemption. That's why we need to take our two exemptions here. The original tree is exempts Reuven, and the graft exempts Shimon. On a papa, the MP learn out, Kerem Shoshne Shutfim and Chazin Lamechum. If a tree belongs to two partners, neither of them have an exemption on the tree, because it has to be entirely yours. As the Gemara, what do you mean? How different than five brothers? But Mace Echemem Mucham, let's say the five brothers, one of them died, so now the wife can marry any one of the four remaining brothers. All four are exempt and go home. It's like a woman has four partners. So, and you see, all four go home because of one woman. So why, if two people own one tree, don't we say that they can go, or five trees, why don't they go back home? The Kulna Chayzim answering are very different. Hasam over there, Kol Chad V'Chad Karin Me'ishta. Each brother has the right to marry her, so till somebody makes a decision, each one can say, this is my wife. At the end, only one of them can marry her, but each one has the potential to be that husband. Here, every one of them owns half the tree. So nobody can say, this is my vineyard.
Rav Nachman gives another answer. You want to know why the Mishnah says that it's an exemption by grafting the branch. And the Braisa is an exemption. But, you know what we're talking about? You grafted a tree with vegetables. The high Tanahu follows the following opinion. Rav Shimon says there's no, by a vegetable, there's no laws of Arla or Klaya Kedem. And even though now you graft it onto a tree, but it's through vegetables, and therefore you're exempt. You're exempt. Chum say no. It takes on the status of the tree, and you're chayiv. And that's the machlekes. If you're chayiv in Arla, then it's an exemption. You go home. If you're not chayiv in Arla, it's not an exemption. I'll give another answer. The Braisa actually argues with the Mishnah. The Braisa follows Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who says that the only time you go home is grapes, not grafting. No. Just like Rabbi Yaakov said, it has to be grapes. When it says over here, not only grapes, but any tree, it has to be a planted tree. Noiteya in only planted, but mavrich hamakiv loy, not if you grafted it on. Talking about these dinim, ki yosab dim yom rabbi yechim, shabbat ben yakev, yalda, if you have a very young tree, pchusim et tefach, a tree that never matures higher than a tefach. I'm not sure what species this is, but it bears fruit, but it never goes higher than a tefach. It's chayeves, be'orla koshen oiseh, midrabbanon, the rest of the life of the tree. 50 years, you got to treat as if there's Arla. Because people don't, when they see such a low tree, what do they think? They think that this is just planted. They wouldn't imagine it's 7 years old. So midrabbanon, because of appearances, we say you have to treat it like Arla. The mizchazi kibashos, it looks like a year old tree. When do we say that? Only if it's a small section, like five trees, two against two, and then one like a tail. Abu kulik kedem. If the entire vineyard is made up of these low lying trees, then kolisle, this is such a unique, weird orchard. Everyone say, oh, you know that orchard? This is the most weirdest thing, and people come there and pay money just to see it. So then there's no issue there of Arla. Okay, everyone knows. Kiyos of dimemreich rabbeleze ben Yaakov mace. A dead body who's buried. Toifis arba amas krishma, within 4 amas next to a grave. You're not allowed to learn Torah. You're not allowed to say krishma. You're not allowed to wear your tzitzis out. You have to put it in because you don't want to poke fun at these dead who don't have the mitzvah. The chesiva says loyeg l'rosh. If somebody makes fun of a poor man, chedev aseyu, it's embarrassment because you chayv mitzvahs and dead people are not. It's like you're like rubbing in their face that they're rubbing, you know, salt in their wounds that they can't do the mitzvahs. If you have a stepsister, let's say your father remarried and the woman brought a girl into the house, and now there's a few brothers there and they have a stepsister in the house, you shouldn't marry your stepsister. Why not? According to his opinion. People see they all living together, think it's your sister, and then they see you getting married, people tongues start wagging. Oh, he married a sister. However, the mother disagrees. This is different. Everybody knows that this really wasn't his sister, it's only a stepsister, and therefore we're not worried that people are gonna slander. If a poor person collects the corner of the field, sha'asa big gaiden, but if the poor person collected a lot and he built his own pile of crop, people walking by think he's not a poor person, he looks like he's a rich person in his own right, and it looks like he's keeping all the pay for himself. Hukvu l'maisa, he has to give maisa. Only in the field, the people don't know. In the city, it's not normal to have so much crap in one place. Call these limits. I won't say, wow, this poor man is really good. Look how much he collected. So therefore, he doesn't give mice. There's no appearance. All of these are examples of appearances that you have to do things to be yaitze people's suspicions. If you have a very young, low sapling, or not young, but a very low lying tree that's less than the size of a tefach, the din is you're not allowed to mix grapes with any other plant, midrabanan, or with wheat, or luf, whatever it is, mehatera. If these other plants are lower than a tefach, there's no problem of climb, because it doesn't look like a tree, it doesn't look like anything. Yeah. If the grapes are lower than a tefach, it doesn't bother us. That's only talking about if it's a small section. I have a cooler kedem, but if the entire vineyard is made out of these size trees, then mekadesh, then it looks like a real vineyard. And then if there's other things growing in there, other grains or loof and canvas, its claim. Just one little piece. Mace, teif, you just said before that a mace, teif is arba amas tumah, that a mace has four amas around it, that a kohen shouldn't be standing next to a grave, because he might become tummy. The Tana Tuna, we also learn, in those days they used to build, you know how they buried the Eden? They would build, make a cave, and they would, in the walls of the cave, under the ground, in the walls of the cave, standing up, they would make holes, and that's how they buried people, standing up, 4x6 amas all around. And then they would build a little hole in front of it, and that hole was the entrance to the grave. Now the hole could either jump in, jump out, or you had steps going in. Says the Gemara like this: the Tana Tumi learned chotzer hakeva. That's called that hole in front of the cave to get in. It's called the courtyard of the cemetery. The courtyard of the cemetery ha'oimid, but if you're standing in there, toir, because it's clearly demarked that you're not standing next to the grave; you're separate. The only reason why we said four amas next to a grave is forbidden, we're scared you get too close, you'll hover over the grave. But here, there's a clear; it's a cave, and you're outside the cave, no problem. As long as this courtyard is made up of four amas, it's a big area, so it's totally separated from the cave. Anything less than that, it becomes like an extension of the cave. That's what we're talking about. If it's the opening, you have to jump up. If you walk out, even hakel arba amas. If they just walk out, everyone agrees that less than four amas is part of the cave of the problem. On the contrary, if the entrance is in and out, you just walk sideways. You just walk out. But if you have to jump up and down, you have to put your hands on the side of the thing to climb up. Your hand goes into the cave. So he makes time. And the cut. Elamedram, which is the other way around. You're right. Only if you walk in from the side. And then we have an argument for Amis, for Tvachim. If you have to jump up and down, Arba Amis, four Amis. To be separate. Otherwise, we're scared you're going to hover over the cave. This is also about a courtyard, so this clearly defined where the grave is, where you are. Our maze by Alma Tuf is Bastama, dead body, has four amas all around it that you cannot get close to. Big argument today when you have a cemetery and the grave is a very clear cut. Is a coin allowed to be within four amas because it's clear cut? Maybe it shouldn't be a problem. Okay, continue to run with the show.